Okay, so today my session is Write Your Angry Bird Game on Tizen for Fun and Profit. So the big question is why we want to write a game app instead of, for example, the weather app for like that. So the answer is quite easy because the big market, it's a so big market that as according to the Flurry company, which is a company that does the advertising, does the tracking, as you can see, one-third of the time is spent on games when you are using your Android or iOS devices. And the Facebook time is only about 18%. And so it's a very huge market there. And there are lots of famous game apps, as you can see. Angry Bird, Fruit Ninja, Tiny Wings, Doodle Jump, Candy Crush, and Plants and Zombies. These are very famous apps on your Android or on your iOS devices. So today I will try to help you develop the Angry Bird game, which is interesting to see. So playing game is fun, but I think that developing a game is more fun. So yeah, let's start. So how can we develop a game on Tizen? Well, technically, there are two ways. You can do it natively, or you can do developing as a web app. As to Tizen 2.0, we now does support the native development, application development. So for example, you can write a C++ and compile. That should work. But you know, web is the future, and it's cross-platform by its nature. So I will try to help you develop a web game in this talk, especially using the HTML5 technology. So how can we develop a web game? If you are brave enough, you can write it by yourself from scratch using the JavaScript programming language. Though, you know, JavaScript is a language that's being loved or hated by lots of people at the same time, but you know, it's the only way you can do that. Or if you you can use some derived languages from JavaScript, such as the CoffeeScript, TypeScript, but they are all on the same level. And the place where you can draw or you can render your output is the canvas tag or SVG tag or WebGL. You know, WebGL is mostly designed for 3D. So it has a similar API as OpenGL.js, but yeah. So as we are developing a 2D game, I was more concerned about the canvas and SVG, but you know, SVG has a DOM tree there, its performance, you know, or you can use the canvas, and I prefer just using the canvas. It has an immediate drawing mode, so it's more natural for me. When dealing with the audio, you can use the web audio in this HTML5 spec. So the basic game loop is very simple. You just read the input. The input includes the mouse input or the touch input on your devices, and then you move your sprite or you move your character and do some calculation there. Or you, if you want the, because you are doing some physics games, you want the correlation test. And then you finally render your sprites onto your web page. But I suggest that you use a game engine. You know, it's more convenient. There are lots of choices. As in this Tizen conference, you have see that there are many companies. They are demonstrating their game engines. But I would choose Cocos 2D HTML5. This is a very interesting game engine that I see it. It has a bit long history about its Cocos 2D history. It is first developed by a small group of people using Python, and then when iOS came out, these people ported this Python code into Objective-C, and they called it Cocos 2D for iPhone, and this is very popular and famous game engine that you get that's used on iOS. Then a few people in China put it again into C++, and they called it CocoStudioX. When it's using C++, it can be combined on Android and iOS. So you write it once and combine to different platforms, and you're done. And the latest member from this CocoStudio family is CocoStudio HTML5. It has a similar API, and it's very mature as I see it. So because I was coming up this background of CocoStudio, so I would choose this HTML5 game engine from this family as well. So the basic workflow when you are developing some games that the game as the, for example, the Angry Bird or the Doodle Jump, the way you see it is that it's been divided into different scenes. So each rectangle in this graph represents the scene. For example, when you hit the icon on your home screen, you are directed into the introduction scene, and then you are directed into the menu scene, and then you are going to play the level 1, level 2, or you're going to see the winning or losing scene. That depends on how you do your job. So each rectangle in this graph represents a scene. Now, when you have a scene, then there are some child, as we call it. They call it layers. Whenever you have played with some drawing apps, you should be familiar with this layer stuff. So each layer represents different aims. For example, the background layer, on it you can draw your sun, your cloud, your mountains, and on your animation layer you have your sprite, the character moving around, and the menu layer you can display your buttons and so on. So let's see a few examples. The first part is the game layer. We just declare a game layer variable that's extended from the cc.layer, which is a part of the game engine. So it's quite simple. We, as you can see in this function, init function, we have a sprite, which is created from cc.sprite, and we set its position, we add to its layer, and we are done. So it's supposed to be showing a sprite there. And the first part just creates a layer, but then we need a scene to be used. So we created a cc.scene, and then in this onEnter function, which it will be called when this scene gets displayed. So a layer is created, and we add this layer to this scene, and we're done. So the previous slide just gives you some introduction of CocoStudio rendering engine. As we call it rendering engine, we just know that it's only it just do the job of rendering. So it just displays your sprites, your characters, but it does not do anything else. So as we are trying to develop an Angry Bird game, you know, you fire a bird and they collide, and all these stuff are related to the physics. So we need another physics engine. So in this talk, I will give you some introduction of the Box2D, a very famous 2D physics engine. It's developed by Aaron Cato in C++ in GDC conference, I think. And then it has lots of language ports. It has been ported to the JavaScript, the ActionScript, which is the language used by Flash. And so in this talk, we will use JavaScript version. To get started in this Box2D world, we need a few, get familiar with a few concepts there. We have world. The world manages all the whole physics simulation. So basically, in one game, you have one world, so that's it. And the body concept. The body is the primary element in the Box2D world. So for each So for each character, or for example, in Angry Bird, you have the pig, the bird. So each one is a body there. So then you need a shape. The shape concept is that it defines all these collision geometry attached to a body. So you can specify whether it's a rectangle, it's a circle, whatever. And the next concept is a little bit confusing at first. It attaches shape to a body and sets its density, friction, and restitution. So I will give you an example. For example, I have a ball right in my hand, and I just hit the ground. So how it will bounce up depends on all these three parameters. So whether it will bounce up again or just due to the big friction or restitution, it just sits there. So this parameter, mostly you will tune in your game. So if you want to achieve different physics, so you want to tune this parameter. So joint, another concept is joint when you are trying to connect two bodies. So you need this one. But in our Angry Bird game, it's quite simple. We might not need this concept. So when you are developing your game in Box2D, you need to notice a few different things from your other parts. So it just it uses KMS unit system, means kilograms, meters, seconds. The most important thing is that it uses meters, so it's not pixels. You do not measure your the length by your pixels on your screen. You need to convert into the meters, so you need to pay attention to that. So let's see some real game, real code. So the first line just defines the world. That's the one variable that you will be used. So the next group of statements defines the fixture definition. As you can see, it sets the density, the friction, the restitution, and then we create a body definition. And we set its shape to a polygon shape, and we set it to a static body, and we finally set its position. And if we finally, the last statement there is we created a body there. So there are a few things there. So as you can see, we create this body as a static body, because this body, we try to define the whole ground, because the ground will not move. So we define it as a static body. And the next, because, you know, a bird, you know, just does not stand on the ground still. So it just needs to move. So we define it as a dynamic shape. So we just define it to the dynamic body, and we can have a dynamic one. So the only things that we need to change is the first few lines, and the next part is mostly the same. So we introduced the few concepts in Box2D, and we have the rendering engine, we had the physics engine, but how we can connect them into together. So whenever you update your frame, when you're trying to render your objects, you just get these positions from the physics world. So in this update function, this function will be called on each frame. So it just steps through the physics world, as you can see, the this.world.step, and then off this physics engine calculates its new positions, and then you just retrieve from this physics world and set its sprite's position one by one. So this is the the essential part that we should be added into our update function. Okay, so let's give some classic Box2D demo. In this demo, I will be using this Tizen IDE. So this has all this code there. And the most part is this app.js. So as you can see, we have this update function that's mostly I missed type G there. So then I just run as a web app. I'm sorry. Yeah, so as you can see, this is a Box3D demo. So whenever I click on the screen, it creates a dynamic body there. So, and it should behave like a real box. So it's really cool. This is a very classic Box3D game, and it's code is not very large, so it should be understood very easily. So whenever I hit the screen, I just add this new sprite with my position. Okay. So this is a Box3D game that has all these physics engine and the rendering engine incorporated. But how can we make it more like an Angry Bird game? So we need a place to shoot the bird, and we need some blocks. We need some wood, so and the house, and of course the some monsters there. So then we need to add more stuff into our original code. So let me show you. So this is the my current version of app.js. So the first few things we need to do is we add this resources into this folder, and we add it to this resource.js. So whenever we add a new image there, we just add one line there, and we give it a name. So. And how about we see some effects? Oh yeah. This is my handcrafted graphics, so bear with me. Oh, let's give it a try. A little bit high. And we have a strength there, so whenever I give it a long hold it for a long distance, so the force should be very large. So, whew. Oh yeah, so we hit the monsters. So we can give it another hit. Whew. Well, that looks cool, huh? So how can we add this these things into our game whenever you know that there are Box2D there? So basically, for each this block, this works as a dynamic box. And each monster, as you can see, this is a circle box. So it will behave like a circle that will roll on the ground. And whenever you release your touch, and it will give the ball a force, and it just goes, it just shoots like the real one. Okay, this is the Angry Bird, my basic Angry Bird game, but there's more, to be more like a real Angry Bird game, so you need some sound effects. So this Cocos2D HTML5 has the building a sound engine, so you can just call it play the sound, and it will do the job. But you need to first add this your sound, for example, your MP3 or OGG file into this resource.js file. And of course, I need you need to give it a shiny graphics because I'm just a developer, so I really need an artist to make this game really cool. Yeah. So this is the full fun part, but how about the profits part? You know, there are lots of options there. So you can sell it on the Tizen app store. As we know, in this Tizen conference, it's just been announced. You can try to register on the seller.tizenstore.com. And of course, as it's just, and we are just writing our games on JavaScript, we can just add some advertisement. You can incorporate as Google Ads or whatever, AdMob. There are lots of services that you can try to add these ads in your app. Or you can try to use your in-app purchase. In-app purchase is a microtransaction mechanism, so you, whenever you want to give an extra effect, you can let the players try to do this IAP. So, and at the last, I give you a few references links that I I used in my demo and my slides. The first link is this cookstudhtml5 repository on GitHub, so you can just pull it down and check it out. And the second one is the box2djs engine, and you can just give them give it a try. So that's it. Do you have any questions regarding this development? Please stand before this microphone.
Just a quick question. Uh-huh. So how long did it take you to build that game from nothing to your first prototype?
It takes less than a few hours. But, you know, I would say that excluded the graphs part. So the coding part is only a few hours. But, you know, I need to draw some this circular thing on my painting app, and then I export them to my desktop. So it takes a few times. But the coding is very fluent, and it's very easy for me to do that. So I assume that if you are a new developer, whenever you have these concepts of Box2D and Cookies2D, and then the coding part should be easy. Okay. Okay, so no question? Okay, thank you all.